Welcome. My name is Frances Kissling, and I'm the president of Catholics for a Free Choice. In the following podcast, a special report for International Women's Day, which is March 8th, I sit down with Kavita Ramdas, who is the president of the Global Fund for Women. We're going to discuss some of the major issues facing women around the world today and what the international women's movement looks like in 2006. Kavita and I are old friends. Kavita grew up in India, graduated from Mount Holyoke College, one of our country's great women's colleges, and is currently on the board at Mount Holyoke. For more information about these issues and Catholics for a Free Choice, please visit us on the web at www.catholicsforchoice.org. Hi, Kavita, how are you?
I'm very well, Frances.
Good. Well, why don't we get right into this? You are now the president of a great organization, the Global Fund for Women, and you support groups which all around the world that work to advance the human rights of women and girls. Since 1987, it's absolutely amazing, the Global Fund has given over $47 million to more than 2,900 women's groups in 162 countries. That certainly positions you to let us know and our listeners know what really is going on in the international women's movement today and what are some of the most pressing issues facing women today.
Frances, thank you. I also know that your listeners would like to know that you were one of the visionary founders who created the Global Fund for Women in 1987. And indeed, today we are the largest organization exclusively supporting women's human rights internationally and around the globe. And we do indeed have an incredible bird's eye view of what the international women's movement looks like. I would say that in 2006, the critical issues that face women in some ways are very similar to what they were for many years prior to this, in that women still face the dual challenges of poverty and violence. But in other ways, they are faced with new challenges that threaten their achievements over the last few years. And in particular, I'd like to highlight three. I think women face major challenges in the areas of growing militarism and the threat to peace. I think women's economic well-being and the independence that they've struggled for in so many parts of the world is severely threatened under current conditions of increased inequality between nations and within nations, and the rampant explosion of globalization that doesn't always have the best outcomes for women. And lastly, that women face growing fundamentalism and what I would call more appropriately religious extremism, especially in regard to their own health, their reproductive health, and their sexual and reproductive rights. So these are the three new and frightening challenges that I think we hear from women around the world, especially in the last 4 years after the 9/11 and stated war on terror that the U.S. launched. We have heard more and more from women that these are growing concerns for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that from a domestic point of view here in the U.S., those issues are very much on the minds of women in our country. I certainly see, as I travel around the United States, and particularly even as we looked at it this past week, a decision by the state of South Dakota to ban all abortions in that state, the rise of religious fundamentalism and the way in which it affects women's lives. We certainly know that the U.S. is not free of problems of poverty, and that women, particularly questions of women's employment, daycare, all of those things that make it possible for women to participate fully in society, continue to be very, very serious problems. So I think that raising these issues as we approach International Women's Day is really very, very important. I wonder if you could go just a little bit further and give one or two examples from the Global Fund's experience of either grantees or areas of work in which these three questions, peace, the eradication of poverty, and responding to religious extremism, are being met by women in the world.
I'd love to do that, Frances. In fact, I think what is striking to us is that we are hearing about women's leadership in these areas from all sorts of parts of the world. In Africa, I think the spotlight has traditionally been on both the HIV crisis and the scourge of poverty, but in many ways, Africa has been deeply affected by conflict and increased militarism, and I'd like to highlight the work of the Mano River Women's Network, which is a network of women activists working in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, who were instrumental in bringing negotiations about in that area to bring about a peaceful resolution to what had been an almost 10-year civil war in the region. And they have played an incredibly important role, not only in the peace negotiations, but then more recently in what was a terrific outcome for women around the continent, the election of Ellen Johnson Sirleaf as the first woman president of Liberia. So that's one example, I think, in the area of fighting back with peaceful means, if that's possible, to bring about an end to the growing militarism in a particular region. In the area of addressing poverty, and particularly, I think, addressing poverty with an understanding of the macroeconomic causes of poverty, and I think that is different. We're not anymore talking just about the small income-generating schemes in small villages, but really a level of sophistication that women's organizations are displaying about how the larger decisions taken by international institutions, whether that's the World Trade Organization or the IMF or the World Bank, how those decisions affect their lives and how they, as workers and contributors to the international global economy, need to really reclaim their rights to be treated with fair wages, to be provided with decent and livable working conditions, and to ensure that the welfare of their own health and that of their children is taken care of. And here I'd like to mention the work that we recently saw happening on the ground in Cambodia, where women make up almost 80 to 90% of the workforce in garment factories. And one of our grantees, Khmer, the group Stray Khmer, has done some extraordinary work in mobilizing women to run for office in the local unions to ensure that there's better representation.
I'm actually going to break in here because we're running a little short on time, and I'm going to do the third example, if I might, in terms of religious extremism, since it's certainly one of the things that Catholics for a Free Choice works on. And I think many of our listeners may not know that Catholics for Free Choice has seven sister organizations in Latin America who are working for on a broad range of women's issues related to religious extremism, from violence against women within the churches to reproductive health and rights, the rights of indigenous women, and the Global Fund has been a strong supporter of those groups. In addition, I wanted to highlight the work of a group in Africa called the Circle of Concerned African Women Theologians that is very, very active in raising the issues that affect African women in that continent and worldwide. And finally, in Asia, we know there's this wonderful work that's being done by Sisters in Islam and various branches of women living under Muslim law. Many of those groups who work to recover a progressive view of the Quran and to reinterpret it in the light of the modern world and of the way in which things are changing. So I think we really have so many positive examples of the great things that women are doing around the world today.
I completely agree.
Yeah. Now, I think that it's very interesting in that context, and maybe we could just spend a few minutes talking about this, is really this whole question of, is there an international women's movement? I mean, we certainly hear over and over again in the United States that the women's movement is dead, something that we work very hard to challenge and to prove that that certainly isn't true. And I wonder what you see in terms of the vitality of an international women's movement. Is there such a thing as an international women's movement?
Well, I think it's impossible for me to believe otherwise, because every year the Global Fund is flooded with over 3,000 requests from women's organizations from as far away as Outer Mongolia to places like Iraq and Afghanistan, which have been engulfed in so much conflict, to some of the poorest countries in Africa and some of the most remote parts of South America. So absolutely, I would say there is an international women's movement. It's alive and well. I think women are mobilizing on a whole range of issues. And what I think is important is that they're mobilizing on a range of issues that one does not traditionally think of as quote-unquote women's issues. You see women organizing on issues from health and education and childcare to issues issues of peace and governance and environment. And I think that's an important distinction in terms of the international women's movement's focus these days. It is not a narrow focus on what is traditionally deemed to be women's issues.
So women have actually gone beyond the notion of just, as if this ever were true, just addressing their own needs, but really mobilizing themselves to address all of the needs that are out there, with a complete understanding that whatever is going on in the world affects women's lives and women's ability to function within the world.
Absolutely, and I think that there are some wonderful things that we can become excited about in terms of what is happening in the movement today. I think today, one of the significant achievements of the last 30 or 40 years of the international women's movement is that, in fact, women's rights are now accepted universally mm-hmm. as a global good. So whether you have the government of this country or any other government in the world, nobody can actually sort of step away from the rhetoric of accepting women's rights as a global good. And I think that is a first step in the right direction. It's by no means a step with which the international women's movement is satisfied or will be satisfied. But I think it is an opportunity for us to use as a lever for change. Mm-hmm. And I think the other good news in terms of, you know, things to get excited about, to feel confident about, that the movement is, in fact, moving, are some of the outcomes in things like the elections recently. In both Chile and Liberia, we now have women presidents mm-hmm. elected for the first time, and I think significantly elected not trying to run as men in those positions, but proudly claiming their own forms of unique leadership. Michelle Bachelet, a single atheist socialist mother of two, a pediatrician, talking in her acceptance speech about the healing power of love. Well, that doesn't sound like a traditional male leader.
Right, right. Within the international women's movement, here at Catholics for Free Choice, we strongly consider ourselves to be a feminist organization. And I'm wondering how you would say the word feminism plays itself out within the international women's movement. Is it controversial? Is it accepted? How does it work?
Well, my sense is that the women's movement is too busy getting the work done to worry too much about the words.
Great.
I think today, what does it mean to be a feminist in 2006 globally? It means you are a human being. You could either be a woman or a man. A caring human being with a strong commitment to human rights. You are not just asking anymore that girls and women be allowed onto the playing field of the world. But instead, you are challenging the very premise of the game being played. So together, I see women and men asking, how can we use our collective energy and creativity and technical ability to redefine the terms of engagement with one another, with our families, our communities, with the earth? For me, and what I hear from women's groups around the world, is that to be a feminist in 2006 is to be committed to living in cooperation and in peace and in being committed to continuing a fight for justice and equality for all human beings.
Sounds great. Now, how do we, Kavita, take this movement and get it to expand, to reach more women and more men, and to be more effective? What would you briefly say are some of the things that we can all do or that need to be done in order to expand the international women's movement and improve the lives not only of women but of all the people of the earth?
I think there are three important things we can do. First, I think we need to now put our money where our mouths have been. So although there's much talk and rhetoric about women's rights, the money that actually goes to women's organizations around the world is a mere pittance, and the Global Fund for Women certainly hopes to see that change and has just completed a $20 million campaign to do that effect. So that, I think, is an important first step in terms of what the movement needs to do. We need to ensure that more money reaches women who are taking leadership.
And I would really suggest that, let me make a small pitch for the Global Fund here and suggest that anyone listening who is interested, go on your website, which is really a fabulous website, www.globalfundforwomen.org, and take a look at the website and the wonderful work that you're doing and make a contribution.
Thank you, Frances. And also mobilize in your own community. This March for International Women's Day and for Women's History Month, we are hoping to have 100 events across the country mobilizing women and girls to share the achievements of other women and girls around the world. So you can find that on our website as well. Secondly, I think women need to demand a greater voice and a role in politics and government, and governments all around the world. And I think that's something we're beginning to see more of, but in the United States, Frances, and now here, although we don't work in the U.S., I would say this is a critical piece. You mentioned the Dakota case. I think without our mobilization here in the United States on those issues, women in the rest of the world will be left fighting their battles without the support of American women, whom they really need in this. And then lastly, I'd say it's incredibly important for the movement to continue to build bridges across nations, across cultures, across religions. I think it's truly the greatest strength of the movement. Many years ago in the 70s, we heard sisterhood is global. Indeed, without sisterhood being global, we can't hope to achieve the outcomes that this movement has the potential to deliver.
I think that's a very strong international message. I know that you and I have discussed this before, and people are always saying to me, what can we in the U.S. do? And one of the things that I constantly hear when I travel, and I know you hear the same thing, is that what women overseas are saying to me is, deal with your own country. That we really need to, in terms of what you're talking about, in terms of political involvement, in terms of working to change the laws, to hold our president accountable, all of those kinds of things, that one of the biggest contributions that we can make to the international women's movement and to international peace and justice is to work to create peace and justice here in our own country. I really want to thank you so much for joining me. I know your Kavita joins us from one of those clubs in the airport on her way to London, and we really are grateful that you took time out to be with us. Let me remind everybody of the two websites that you might want to go to for more information. For the Global Fund, please go to www.globalfundforwomen.org. And for Catholics for a Free Choice, www.catholicsforchoice.org. This is a special podcast from Catholics for a Free Choice for International Women's Day, March 8th. Thank you again, Kavita, and happy Women's Day to all of our listeners.
Thank you, Frances. It's been a pleasure.
This has been a podcast from Frances Kissling, President of Catholics for a Free Choice, with special guest Kavita Ramdas of the Global Fund for Women. We invited the Global Fund for Women to join us on this podcast and also to collaborate with us on the next issue of our magazine, Conscience, which will focus on the international women's movement. For more information, please visit www.catholicsforchoice.org and www.globalfundforwomen.org. Thanks for listening.